Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah.
All right, the Bucks win here again on the home floor. The defense shines for at least three quarters. Drew Holiday shines throughout the entire game. And the Bucks get an impressive win without Giannis and Chris Middleton. So now, as we mentioned at the end of the network postgame show, they are just one game back of the Miami Heat for first place in the Eastern Conference, and we are starting to see more and more separation between 1 through 4 in that East. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to join the program tonight. Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. And you got a big stretch coming up now with the Memphis Grizzlies on the road Saturday night. Two games against the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets next week before returning home. You got two back-to-backs left this season. One of them is next Thursday and Friday. But the Bucks just keep winning. The defense is looking better. Brooke Lopez, you can attribute a lot of that to. But you had four starters in double figures tonight. Seven players total in double figures. And oh, by the way, the bench scores 45 once again. So things are starting to round into form for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. And it was funny, before the game, as I always do, myself and Dave Kane, we go down and we hear from Coach Budenholzer speak, and the opposing coach as well, heard from Wes Unseld. And on my way back up here, I usually stop by on the court and catch up with some players or assistants and guys just on the floor and watch the players go through some warm-ups. And on my way back up to the booth, I was talking with somebody else, somebody with the team, about, man, I can't believe the regular season is already over, but there was an anxiousness and a level of excitement of, I can't believe we've finally made it and the playoffs are here, that, you know, we were able to, knock on wood, there's still nine games left, able to get healthier. Hopefully we stay healthy going into the playoffs, but it's finally here, and we feel pretty good about the spot that this team is in, that we were able to weather that storm. Think back to some of those lineups this team played back in November and December. Sandro Mamukelashvili getting some heavy runtime. Javonte Smart getting some heavy minutes as well. In and out of the lineups, a defense that's built around preventing shots at the rim without Brook Lopez. What did we keep talking about throughout this season? Why is the Bucks defense where it is? It's in the middle of the pack, or at times close to 20th in the league. Why are they there? Rebounding. Why isn't this Bucks team doing some of those things that we've seen them do all season long for the last couple of seasons? They're struggling to rebound the ball. Why is that the case? Brook Lopez has been gone, and we've talked about it on this program repeatedly. Every team has dealt with COVID issues, with injuries, players lost to COVID protocols and health and safety protocols, a short schedule or a short return to play, I should say, for the Bucks, for the Suns especially. But all of those teams that went deep into the playoffs, you were going into June, late June in the Bucks and Suns case, late July, early July for the Atlanta Hawks, if you throw them in there, or the Clippers. The season was it extended to the point where it did on the calendar. You're back. October is when camps started, or preseason started. September is when camps started. So not a whole lot of off time. And you saw players in and out of lineups for the first three or so months of the regular season. Teams just wanted to get to this period on the calendar. Let's just get to March. And let's get healthy. Let's start to play much better in the month of March. Let's get geared up and ready for the playoffs, and now you're here. And for the Bucks and all these other teams that we talked about, every team has dealt with injuries and players in and out of the lineup. So on the one hand, it is pretty tough to make any broad assessments of what we've seen from all of these teams. When you think about the Magic and the amount of games that they've lost to injury. Now, I know the Magic are not a playoff team, but they were far and away the team that had the most games impacted by injuries. The Miami Heat, think about them on the other end of the spectrum, where the amount of games that they had their best four players on the floor, it hasn't really happened until recently. They went stretches without Bam Adebayo and Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler. The Bucks, as we mentioned, You went stretches with Bobby Portis, Chris, Drew Holiday, Giannis, all in health and safety protocols. Grayson Allen missing some time. Pat Connaughton with the injury that he had. Brooke Lopez, obviously the elephant in the room. All of these teams have dealt with that. And it's tough to say, okay, well, this team is really this, and these numbers match up to what we're seeing here. In the case of the Bucks, it's even more difficult because if you needed any more convincing, and I do remember last year, there was a segment of Bucks fans that were pretty adamant, it's over for Brooke Lopez, and it's time to move on. Maybe the Bucks should look at other options. And then in the second half of the season, you saw Brooke Lopez. The scoring was coming up. The shooting was starting to increase as well. Defensively, not that he was poor before that, but defensively, he was reaching another level. Second half of the season, his importance in the playoffs, and especially in that series against the Phoenix Suns, you saw, okay, I was wrong. There's a lot of value here with Brooke Lopez. If you didn't get that point last season, these last few months really hammered that home. So I think the difficulty with the Bucks is they may be the team that's most difficult to truly assess. Where are they at here? But games like tonight, where you see what that team's able to do without Giannis and Chris Middleton, that's where you start to feel comfortable and confident and say, okay, a lot of the things we saw last year, this team is starting to round into form and do those things. Go back to Tuesday against the Bulls. You didn't have Chris Middleton. You had everybody else. And you saw how dominant the Bucks were on the glass and defensively for basically three quarters tonight. I know the Wizards aren't a good team. I know especially now, this iteration of the team, they're not a great offense. But the Bucks' defense just engulfed them. And it's so tough to have any broad assessments of defense. For as much as we talk about defensive rating, you'd love to see the Bucks get into the top 10 in defensive rating this season. You would love to see that because, as we point to, it's so tough to win a championship if you're outside of the top 10. This may be that asterisk team because Brooke Lopez changes everything defensively in terms of rebounding as well, and you haven't had him for six games. Six games is what you've had Brooke Lopez in. And by the way, the Bucks are 5-1 in those six games that Brooke Lopez has played in this season. Defensive rating number two, 110.2. That is 12th in the NBA, 10th. So just get to 10 going into the playoffs and you feel a lot better. The Utah Jazz right now are 10th. How incredible is it to see the Bucks and the Jazz where they are? Two teams that were routinely 1, 2, 3 near the top in defensive rating. Those are your teams that right now 10 and 12. But the Jazz right now are 10th. They're 109.9. So the Bucks are just 3/10 of a point back of 10. In defensive rating. The Sixers are 109.7. So it's within striking distance. Performances like tonight continue to get better defensively, and they're going to finish in that range. But we're seeing more and more of these signs that we saw a season ago where this team was dominant in the playoffs. And we mentioned this after the game on Tuesday. Giannis was great. Chris Middleton came up with some big games as well. The 50-point closeout game from Giannis, that trio, the defensive versatility. All of it the Bucks are able to display. Giannis is going to get the headlines. We're going to fondly remember the winner that Chris Middleton had against the Heat because that really put them on their way. The way Chris Middleton played against the Hawks in the conference finals. The 40-point game that he had against the Suns in the NBA finals. All of these things were huge. But it was the Bucks' defense that really drove them to that championship. One of the best playoff defenses we've seen in recent years. I think you put the Bucks up there. The Toronto Raptors that beat the Bucks 2 years ago, that's another team that was really, really dominant defensively. That's why the Bucks reached the level they did. Their defense was absolutely dominant. And as long as you have number 11 in the middle, you got Giannis as a help defender, maybe the best help rim protector in the league. Serge Ibaka all of a sudden looks spry defensively. Pat Connaughton, some of the comments we heard from Mike Budenholzer, I'm going to touch on those, but what Pat Connaughton brings to this team. And, oh, by the way, we saw George Hill looking pretty spry once again tonight as well. So all of these things trending upward for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. A nice win for the Bucks, who beat the Wizards tonight without Giannis and Chris Middleton. Want to touch on some of those comments I mentioned that Bud made after the game about Pat Connaughton. Also, want to get to something he said before the game about Giannis and Chris Middleton. Giannis especially. But that's the number to get in touch with us on the program. How are you feeling after this win? And how are you feeling as you look at the standings? There are less than 9 games remaining, and the Bucks are just 1 game back of the Miami Heat for the best record in the Eastern Conference. I told you for the last couple of weeks, it's pretty clear the Miami Heat are going to win the East. I don't think we can say that anymore as this thing continues to be bunched up near the top. But we'll take your thoughts on the Bucks heading into the final 3 weeks here of the regular season and some of those comments Mike Budenholzer had about the future of Giannis here, at least the immediate future, and what Pat Connaughton has brought to this team. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Seconds to play in the first. He's defended by Smith, sizing him up. Crossing over. Now he pulls up. Flicks the wrist. Three-pointer. Bullseye. Another three for the Bucks. They've hit 5 on 8 tries tonight.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, another game where the Bucks shot 40% or better from 3. They were hot from the floor. They were hot from the outside. Jrue Holiday with 24 points in this game. And we may have jinxed it at one point late in this game where you looked at the scoreboard and you said, this is one of those, you know, get right, inflate some of the numbers type of performances where we talked about just getting to the top 10 in defensive rating. This is the type of performance you need. Back-to-back games where you hold the Bulls to 98 points. It was trending towards holding this Wizards team to around 90, but they are up for 36 points in the fourth quarter. Bucks still keep them at just 102, and again, they continue to move up. 12th best defensive rating in the league now in striking distance of the Utah Jazz to get into the top 5. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, 9 games left. And the Bucks are just 1 game back of the Heat. I felt pretty confident for the last 3 weeks, month, Miami was going to win the regular season. And the Bucks were probably going to finish around 3rd. You thought, okay, Philadelphia, probably the way they're playing, they'll finish 2nd. The Bucks will be 3rd. Everybody kept ignoring the Boston Celtics for the last month, month and a half. But now all of a sudden we've seen 4 teams where everything is on the table. For the Sixers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Heat. You could finish 4, you could finish 1. Anywhere in that 1 through 4, those teams could finish. And it's still that way. Bucks a game back. Sixers and the Celtics a game and a half back of the Heat. We've seen in recent games here from Philadelphia, it seems as though they're going out of their way to make sure we don't want 2. We don't want 1. We'd rather be 3rd. Hey, maybe even 4th, depending on who finishes 1st. But we want to avoid those 1 and 2 lines because that means there's a pretty good chance we're facing Brooklyn in the first round of the playoffs. And there's a couple of things to get to with that, especially with this Kyrie Irving and the vaccine mandate news here. But as for the Bucks, you still have a fairly difficult schedule remaining. But as we've said, maybe this is good for this team, that it brings this type of play and performance out in them, and it gets you ready for the playoffs because this isn't going to be like it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where you were facing teams like the Pistons and the Magic in the first round. You lost one of those games, and you blew out both of those teams. You won that Pistons series in 4, and it was by an average margin of around 25 points. You blew out the Magic in 4 of those 5 games. That's not going to be what you face in the first round of the playoffs this season. There's a lot that has changed with the scores tonight, and you know, just as we said, 1 through 4, anything is open there. The whole Kyrie Irving saga and that play-in tournament, it's getting much more interesting. Well, it's getting much more interesting as well because some of those scores tonight, the Bulls losing 3-10 in the second half of the season. How about that for the Bulls? The Cavs lose to the Raptors. So 5 through 7 is separated by just 1 game. You have no idea where you're going to finish or who you're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. And in years past, at 9 games, I mean, certainly the first 2 years that Bud was here, you knew where you were going to finish at this point in the season, or at least within 1 or 2 spots. You knew you were going to be 1st or 2nd. you had a pretty good idea of who you were going to play. Now, the play-in tournament does change that, but you had a pretty good idea of it's going to be one of these few teams. You have no idea this year because if you finish first, you're waiting on the eighth seed. If you finish second, you're waiting on the seventh seed. If you finish third, who knows who's going to be sixth? But right now, the matchups would be 3 versus 6, the Sixers and Cavs. 4 versus 5 is the Celtics and the Bulls. 1 versus 8 is the Heat and whoever loses the play-in tournament, or runner-up in the play-in tournament, I should say. And 2 versus 7 would be the Bucks and the winner of the play-in tournament. So let's start with the play-in tournament. The interesting part of it is, beginning this weekend, Kyrie Irving is eligible to play in home games for the Brooklyn Nets. So he becomes a full-time player, and I think that adds even more to teams like Philadelphia saying, we don't want to finish second. Let's make sure we avoid those play-in tournament teams because Brooklyn's not getting out of there. Right now, the Nets are 9 games back at first, so they're obviously not getting into that range, but they're 3 games back of the Cavs to get out of the play-in tournament. 3 games back with 9 games left. That is a lot to ask. Now, if the Nets win out here, they do have the tiebreaker over the Cleveland Cavaliers. But still, let's say Brooklyn goes 7-2 in those final 9 games. That means the Cavs go 4-5. So I suppose we should flip that. If the Cavs go 4-5, Brooklyn needs to go 7-2. They haven't been a 7-2 type team all season long when you look at 38-35. Even with Kyrie Irving as a full-time player now from a part-time player before, they haven't won at that pace. It's basically going to be impossible for the Brooklyn Nets to get out of that play-in tournament. So I don't think you worry about them finishing in that sixth line. But where it becomes interesting is if you're the Nets, you want anyone but the Raptors to finish seventh. Could be the Bulls, could be the Cavs, could be the Raptors. It's not going to be the Hornets, and I don't think it's going to be the Nets. But you don't want the current setup here of the Raptors finishing seventh because Kyrie Irving can't play in Canada. It's changed in New York. It hasn't changed in Canada. So that would be the Nets going to Toronto for that 7 versus 8 matchup without Kyrie. Winner of that game is the seventh seed. Loser still alive. But you play the winner then of the Hornets and the Hawks. Now, Brooklyn should win that game. And Brooklyn really should win that game in Toronto even without Kyrie, but you're making it much more difficult on yourself. So if you're the Nets, you want a result like tonight where the Raptors beat the Cavaliers and now all of a sudden the Raptors are just a game back of fifth and tied with the Cavs for sixth. That's what you want to see because you don't want to have to worry about when and where Kyrie Irving can't play. If you're the Philadelphia 76ers, we keep talking about this stretch that the Bucks have coming up. Saturday is going to be tough. The Memphis Grizzlies are a really good team. Goes without saying. 51-23. Only other team in the league that has 50 wins besides the Phoenix Suns. Jaren Jackson Jr. has played incredibly well. We talk about Giannis. We talk about Rudy Gobert. Draymond Green is back now, but those are the players you talk about with the Defensive Player of the Year chops. Jaren Jackson Jr. is in that conversation as well. You're not going to see John Morant in this game, but the Grizzlies have had a lot of success with John Morant off the floor, including tonight, where they just dominated the Indiana Pacers. Desmond Bane has been incredible in his second year in the league. So it's a really good, really deep Memphis Grizzlies team, and of course coached by a former Bud assistant Taylor Jenkins. So that is going to be a tough matchup for the Bucks on Saturday. We know about the other 2 games remaining. Brooklyn is going to be very tough now because we know Kyrie Irving is going to play in that game, or we know he's eligible to play in that game. Goran Dragic, Patty Mills have both been playing pretty well of late. It seems like they've figured out how to utilize all of those players. Seth Curry as well. He's brought the Nets a big boost. Andre Drummond, by the way, is the under-the-radar move. You took away some depth from Philadelphia. We've seen the Sixers have to rely on DeAndre Jordan. You took away some depth from Philadelphia, and you added some size as well. As we've seen, the Nets didn't trust Nick Claxton in those big spots. Andre Drummond is a guy that they have played, and he has given them great production. So it's going to be a tough matchup against the Brooklyn Nets. But I was always a little skeptical about that Tuesday matchup with the 76ers, and I'm still there. I am not convinced you are going to see both Joel Embiid and James Harden in that game because, again, I don't think Philadelphia wants any part of one or two right now, and especially as we just mentioned, Brooklyn's three games out of getting out of the play-in tournament with nine games left. That is very tough sledding. I don't think Philadelphia is going to play to win some of those difficult games. We've already seen them basically punt against the Miami Heat, or at least try to on two occasions. One of them didn't work out. I don't think you're going to see both of those guys on Tuesday. And all of a sudden, it looks like, are the Bucks going to be the team that finishes with the best regular season record? And is that team that's getting healthy at the right time? And now all of a sudden, we're starting to see some of the flaws for all of those teams in the Eastern Conference, except one. And I think we're still trying to find it. Not saying it isn't there, but we're still trying to find it with one of those four teams. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And I do want to point these two things out as well. As we mentioned, a couple of comments to touch on from Bud. First, Giannis is still just 110 points back of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in franchise history. Not playing tonight. The good news, it amplifies the chances that it's going to happen at home. Whether or not that's Friday, April 1st against the Los Angeles Clippers, maybe it's that Sunday against the Dallas Mavericks. Those are the two home games the Bucks have next weekend. Good chance it happens there. But there was a lot of consternation, and you saw it popping up on Twitter last night. Giannis and his brother Thanasis showed up at the Wisconsin Herd game to watch their brother play. And as we saw the Twitter detectives pointing out, Giannis was wearing some wrap on his wrist. Now, he missed today's game. The reason on the injury report was knee soreness, and that was the same issue that kept him out of the game on Saturday against the Timberwolves. On Saturday, we heard Bud say, look, it's nothing long-term, we don't think at least. It's just something, this knee soreness, when you get to this point in the season. All players are banged up. All players are tired and dealing with something. And with Giannis especially, this knee, I'm not even going to say an issue, but this soreness, we know it's something we're going to have to deal with at this point of the season, seemingly every year. By the way, you heard Bud lay those comments out. So you left that feeling good. But now all of a sudden you see, hey, Giannis is out another game with knee soreness. Now, he was asked, Bud was asked, I know he was on the injury report with knee soreness, and that's the reason why he's listed as out. If he didn't have that soreness, would he have landed on this injury report with that wrist issue? And Bud did say no. But he was very adamant that there's no issues with Chris. Two straight games that he's missed with wrist soreness. No issues with Chris. He will travel to Memphis. I'd go as far as saying we're very hopeful he will play against the Memphis Grizzlies, was the exact quote from Mike Budenholzer. As for Giannis, yeah, the good news is, according to Bud, he wouldn't have landed on the injury report for the wrist. It is a knee issue. But as he said, I can't speak with the same clarity and confidence for Giannis that I have with Chris. We'll see if he travels tomorrow. We'll know whether or not he travels to Memphis. I don't think it's long-term. Wrist is not a significant issue here, but it didn't leave you very confident that we will see Giannis on Saturday. And with two more back-to-backs coming up before the postseason starts, I think it's a given. That final back-to-back that you have, which is your second-to-last and last game of the season, I think it's pretty much a given. He's not going to play in both of those games. And I would venture to guess most of the vets will not play in both of those games. But you do have to question, okay, what does this mean for Saturday? What does it mean for the back-to-back next week as well, Thursday and Friday? So you feel pretty good and would be very surprised at this point. I know we felt the same way coming into today, but I think you'd be very surprised if Chris Middleton isn't on the floor Saturday against the Memphis Grizzlies. But for Giannis, and hearing those comments by Bud, you don't have that same level of confidence, and really Not sure what to expect now in these final nine games of the season for Giannis. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Some interesting comments that Bud had in regards to Pat Connaughton. We'll get to that. And also, you know, one of the more underlooked things about the Bucks in this march to the postseason is, as we mentioned, they're getting healthier. We're seeing some strides defensively and rebounding the basketball. They may be that team that continues to float under the radar, especially when you see some of the things the Boston Celtics have done recently. They're starting to get some attention now. The Miami Heat have been basically the best team in the conference for most, if not all, of this regular season. The moves that the Nets and Sixers made, garnering that attention. And then here you have the Bucks just floating under the radar. Now they're starting to get healthy and maybe finishing the regular season with the best record in the conference. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Foul called, he won't get it. Bucks come away with a loose ball. It's Holiday going the other way. Into the front court. What a move as he spins right past Neto, then kicks out top. Connaughton, got to hit that one. He drills it from straight on, and Pat knew, got to finish this highlight off on this one.
Pat felt pressure. He's like, that was a sexy move by Drew Holiday. I got to make this.
Pat Connaughton, by the way, double figures off the bench as this Bucks bench very productive again tonight. And Pat Connaughton was a big reason behind that success. He scored 16, 4 of 8 shooting, 3 of 6 from the field as well. Mike Budenholzer, Coach Budenholzer, with a lot of effusive praise for Pat Connaughton after the game as well and everything he does and brings to this team. The corporate knowledge, as he put it, he just understands everything they want to do, where he needs to be, the defensive sets offensively, where to be and how to play around Giannis. He gives you everything you need and more. And, you know, as Bud said, it's big just to have him back. And he's just incredibly comfortable and knows everything we want to do. He's getting his body back, his legs back. He was able to keep his conditioning up during this injury because it was on his hand. But he's really not missed a beat in his return. So you think about him, you think about Serge Ibaka giving you some of that depth. Brooke Lopez, obviously the biggest of the returns, George Hill as well. And you know, one of the things we talked about on the pregame show was even Javon Carter and what he's doing defensively, offensively as well. As Javon Carter tonight scored 8 points off the bench on 3 of 5 shooting. So he continues to knock down shots and space the floor. And if we think back to the finals series, as we talked about Brooke Lopez and a lot of the concerns over Brooke Lopez last season at the midpoint of the season and then in the playoffs as well, ultimately you saw his value in that Suns series. And the issues that the Bucks were running into was just they were giving Phoenix too much. It wasn't necessarily Brooke Lopez's fault. You just needed guys like Drew Holiday, especially Drew Holiday, but you needed to get up on the perimeter more and put some more pressure on Devin Booker and Chris Paul. That's the adjustment we saw from Bud a couple of games into the series, and then all of a sudden Brooke Lopez wasn't an issue anymore as he was the rim protector. Giannis was the help defender, and the defense you were able to throw out there really turned that series around. So you get that back. Javon Carter is one of those guys, when you think back to the Jazz game when the Bucks went small against Utah, Drew Holiday and Javon Carter, the way they blew up that backcourt and just shut down everything Utah was trying to do offensively. It's going to be tough to keep Javon Carter off the floor in the postseason. As Bud has mentioned this as well, we got a number of guys. You want to play him, but you have to have that tough conversation of, hey, you just got to stay ready here and wait for your opportunity because minutes are going to be tough to come by as we get set for the postseason. Javon Carter's probably in that camp, but if he's going to continue to pressure the ball all the way up the floor, to make some of the plays that he did again tonight, generating fast breaks with his defense on the perimeter and knocking down shots, that's the one thing. You would expect to tail off a little bit, but if he's going to hit shots, it's going to be tough not to play him during the postseason. So again, Javon Carter, Wesley Matthews, George Hill, Pat Connaughton, Serge Ibaka, Bobby Portis, these are all guys coming off the bench for this team when they're fully healthy. you're not going to be able to play all of those guys, but we just listed six guys. I don't anticipate the Bucks to be 10 or 11 deep in the postseason. It's a good problem to have because last year it was the opposite end, where, yes, you trusted your starters, and maybe your starters were better last year with P.J. Tucker, but you knew we're going to have to play these guys 40-plus minutes. And you're still going to have to do that and want to do that, and that's the biggest advantage the Bucks have over some of these teams. But you do have more options on the second unit this year than you did last year. Now, real quick, I mentioned we're starting to see some of the flaws start to surface here for teams near the top of the Eastern Conference. I'm not willing to fully write off the Brooklyn Nets, but look, if the Bucks and the Nets were to play in the first round, I talked about this before the game on Bucks Shootaround with Greg Matzik. If those two teams played in the first round, I do fully expect the Bucks to win that series. You just know it's going to be difficult to try and shut down Kevin Durant. Now, you beat Kevin Durant last year, and you did it with him scoring what felt like 50 points a game. But I do expect the Bucks to win that series. They're a better team than the Brooklyn Nets. As you look at the rest of these teams, Brooklyn is not one of the four best teams in the Eastern Conference. They're on the fringe. They're better than, and you would certainly trust them in the playoffs more than the Bulls and the Cavs, but they're not one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. The 76ers, James Harden and Kevin Durant, I think there are still questions over how perfectly does this duo fit together. And defensively, what have we talked about? There's going to be some issues there. You think about Matisse Thybulle and everything that he brought to this team. But Doc Rivers, I mean, that is another X factor when you look at Philadelphia in the postseason. It's Doc Rivers' track record in the playoffs. But we've seen Matisse Thybulle not on the floor in big minutes because they don't trust his offense. He's a guy that you're going to need that defense on the perimeter because you're not going to get it from James Harden. I don't know how much of it you're going to get from Danny Green anymore in this point. Tobias Harris is another guy. You're not going to get that. So Matisse Thybulle and the unwillingness to play him, that's going to be big, especially as this team needs some defensive stops. You can outrun Philadelphia. And I know once you get to the playoffs, things slow down, and it's more of a half-court-based offense. You can't always get into transition and make it a track meet, but you still have to have the ability to do it. And go back to that matchup between the Nets and the Sixers. After the game, Kevin Durant said, we knew we could outrun these guys. We knew we could make them run, and that's their weakness. And that's what they did, and they blew them off the floor. And we've seen a handful of other teams start to do that as well. Oh, by the way, Doc Rivers, as we mentioned, doesn't have the greatest playoff track record. The most losses by any coach in playoff history when his team is up 3-1 or better. And has a chance to close out a team, or 3-2. Doc Rivers is the guy that has folded the most times in that situation. It's not entirely Doc Rivers. Some of it is coincidental, but it's not great. James Harden doesn't have a great playoff track record. That's the weakness for Philadelphia. They're not a very deep team either, as we mentioned. The Seth Curry move, Andre Drummond, very, very valuable depth that they had. Those are big blows to Philadelphia. So that is their weakness. The Miami Heat, kind of the opposite that we talked about. Look, I know you got to be able to score in the half court in the postseason. That's the one question you really have about the Miami Heat is, look, Tyler Hero has been a microwave for this team. He's been able to score in bunches. Duncan Robinson has done it in the regular season. We saw him struggle in the postseason last year, but Duncan Robinson has done that throughout the regular season. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, we know about the defensive fit that this team has, and that's where they're going to really make things difficult. But we've seen it a couple of times in the last week now. They're going to run into some issues scoring the basketball in the half court. That's the weakness you would point to that would potentially hold back the Miami Heat. And for the Boston Celtics, you look around and you still don't really know. I think the one thing you would look to is, well, who is the shot creator on this team besides Jason Tatum? Jaylen Brown has had some big moments. Marcus Smart has hit some big shots. But you need multiple guys in the playoffs to come up and create and hit shots. The Bucks had it last year with Giannis and Chris and Drew. And, oh, by the way, Drew Holiday didn't have a great offensive postseason last year. Is that going to be the case again this year? You would like to think Drew Holiday is going to be closer to what he's done in the regular season, where he's almost shooting 42% on threes. I don't know who that second shot creator is for the Boston Celtics. Just like Miami, they're going to make it incredibly tough defensively. But things are starting to fall into place now where this is a team that's done it before, they're getting healthy, and they're starting to look defensively like they did going into the playoffs last year. A big, important, much-needed win, though, tonight over the Washington Wizards, and now a big stretch starting with the Memphis Grizzlies Saturday night on the road, the first of three games on the road for the Bucks. That is a 7 o'clock tip on Saturday night. Our network coverage begins at 6:30, and we'll hit the airwaves at around 10 o'clock with Buckshots presented by Gruber Law Offices.